The following program is brought to you in living color.
Ladies and gentlemen,
let the attack begin.
What are you doing here?
Testing for radioactivity.
Radioactivity? What is this radioactivity?
Warning. The program you're about to hear does not necessarily share the opinions and viewpoints of this radio station. Some of the material and interviews have been altered for entertainment purposes only. If you have any complaints about the Dorfon Sports Radio program, please contact our customer care service center at 1-800.
Yo, mama!
And now, the most eye-popping, jaw-dropping, smash-mouth, bone-crunching, heart-stopping, cutting-edge, interactive sports commentary show on the radio. Dorf on Sports. Now, here's your host, Andy Dorf.
Good morning, sports fans all across the globe, and welcome to the hottest sports variety program all around the country. It is Dorf on Sports, the weekend edition with Mike Wilson. So much going on in the sports world, man, oh man, from college football to NFL football to obviously the World Series, which is all knotted up at 2-2. A lot of things to talk about. Penn State going down to Ohio State, TCU going down to Iowa State, and obviously a lot of NFL to get into as well. Good morning, Mike Wilson. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, a little tired, you know, after our evening out last night, but, you know, it is what it is, and it was some good college football, at least on the USC side, and, you know, just Dorf, it's just our typical night out, you know, hang with George Brett. I'm just going to say that.
Look, bottom line is, yes, we were hanging out with some of the stars on the sidelines last night. George Brett, one of them. But just a very interesting day, very interesting night, all around interesting weekend when it comes to sports. A lot to get into. Thoughts and opinions are welcome. They're encouraged. 1-800-878-7529. Hit us up on Twitter. He is Pigskin Opinion. I'm Dorf on Sports or Dorf Online. And always check out the website. It's DorfOnSportsRadio.com. A lot to get into, so keep on board with us. It is Dorf on Sports, the weekend edition with Mike Wilson. We'll be right back, everybody. Keep it close.
Children play in the park. They don't know. I'm alone in the dark, even though time and time again I see your face smiling inside.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help.
800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. That's 800-754-4531.
It has been said that everyone has a book in them, but do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family. Or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
My joints used to kill me. I'd wake up with stiff knees and a stiff back, and it wouldn't get much better throughout the day. I went to doctors and took almost every supplement you can think of, and nothing seemed to help. Then I found something called Oil Can Joint Lubricant. They use only top-of-the-line, all-natural ingredients, and I know many companies make similar claims, but here's the big difference. Oil Can ingredients are scientifically formulated to work together faster than anything else in the marketplace. That's guaranteed. I take Oil Can every day. My knee pain was gone in just a few days. So if you have knee pain, back pain, and you've tried everything, try Oil Can Joint Lubricant risk-free right now. I'm confident you'll have fewer aches and pains within days, or we will gladly refund your money. Call right now. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795.
You're listening to Dorf on Sports.
Clap your hands, sir. Stop being racist. Clap your hands.
I guarantee you there's no problem.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports, the weekend edition with Mike Wilson. A lot going on in the sports world, as we all know. Thoughts and opinions, they're encouraged. They're welcomed. 1-800-878-7529. Hit us up on Twitter. For Mike, it's Pigskin Opinion. For me, it's Dorf on Sports or Dorf Online. You can always check out the website. It's DorfOnSportsRadio.com. All right, so like Mike said, he and I did get the chance to take in the USC Arizona State Sun Devil game down at Sun Devil Stadium in Tempe, and it was a tough game, obviously, for the Devils, but a lot of good football to talk about in the college ranks when you really think about it, Mike. Ohio State, probably the best game of the day, if you ask me. Ohio State and Penn State, they rally from 18 points down, that is Ohio State, to come back and win that game 39-38, scoring 19 points in the fourth quarter, Mike. Just an unbelievable comeback from them, but also just a major letdown from Penn State. So pretty good football game, and this is also going to get Ohio State back in the mix as far as the national title hunt, Mike.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. This will put them right back in that mix, especially with the, especially with the first college football playoff ranking coming in early this week. We'll see how that plays out. But, you know, just that game yesterday, that Ohio State-Penn State game was just an incredible game. I think it was a major choke job by Penn State, though. They really should have won that game at the shoe, but we'll see how it all plays out this upcoming week. There's a lot of momentum. USC gained a little momentum last night, and not that they're going to make the playoff, but the University of Arizona is playing some serious football right now. And putting some points on the board, especially with that quarterback, Khalil Tate.
No, I agree, man. He's definitely a kid that has been special so far. Look, bottom line is JT Barrett, 33 of 39, 328 yards and 4 TD. And, I told you, I said to you the other day, I think maybe even yesterday when we were hanging out, I said, listen, JT Barrett and the Ohio State Buckeyes are going to be pretty good by the end of the season. And you know what? 7-1, 5-0 in the Big Ten now. Penn State 4-1. And Ohio State now clearly has a shot at getting to the national title, man. Another team that has a great shot at getting to the national title, 42-7, Georgia wins over Florida. They're also 5-0 in the SEC, 8-0 overall. But Georgia, man, I'm starting to think that this is a pretty good football team, Mike.
Yeah, they are by far the second best team in the SEC. And some people might say that they might be the best team in the SEC, but you never know until they play, until they play Bama. But Georgia came at Florida in the biggest tailgate, cocktail party in the South yesterday, and just made Florida look very, very average. And now Florida's coach, McElwain, there's discussions about a buyout for him now. Things have just not gone well for him at Florida, but Florida is a tough place to win, especially being in the SEC.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, look, bottom line is Georgia playing very good football. That's a team to definitely be reckoned with at this point. We'll see how they do the rest of the way. TCU loses 7-14 at Iowa State. Iowa State has cracked the top 25. They really played defense, man. TCU, we know, can put it up, but 7 total points, Mike. Iowa State had to be doing something right.
They were playing defense. That's what they're doing right. And I know I've said this on past shows that TCU to me is just one of those teams that I think had it all to get into the playoff. But now you lose to Iowa State. And Iowa State, look, they're 4-1 in the Big 12. They're 6-2 overall. They're, the 25th rank. They're not a scrub, but they're still not on the same level as TCU, but TCU just looked pedestrian yesterday in that loss by only scoring 7 points.
Yeah, Wisconsin continues to do what they do. They win. They don't give up a lot of points. They beat Illinois in Illinois 24-10. They're number 5 in the country, and I would have to think that they're moving up. They should be in the top 4. What do you think?
Yeah, no, it was Wisconsin. Isn't it just Wisconsin just does what Wisconsin does, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they just kind of go out and play kind of power football, and they run the ball, and they make no apologies for it. They just kind of come out and tell everybody, this is what we're going to do. Stop us if you can. And then we'll see at the end of the game as we just kind of beat you into submission kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, look, bottom line is that they know how to win football game time in and time out. And they get it done, man. And Hornibrook, you know what, say what you want, but he gets the job done. He's effective. And Wisconsin really just plays defense, man. At the end of the day, that's what they do. Clemson gets a victory over Georgia Tech. I think we expected that, but keeping their slim hopes alive just a little bit. And the same goes for Miami, who gets by North Carolina 24-19, Mike.
Yeah, no, I mean the same thing with Miami, and Miami is just one of those teams that is just, they're not getting a lot of publicity, in my opinion. I mean, they're not getting a lot of love, but look, if you look at what they are, they're 7-0, overall 5-0 in the ACC, and, they beat Florida State. I'm not sure if they play Clemson or not. So, when you're 7-0 and you're 5-0 in conference, you deserve some love. And beating North Carolina on the road yesterday, and North Carolina's kind of coming, they've just come way back to earth after Trubisky left. It's it's one of those things where, look out for the Canes. Maybe this is a resurgence of the U, kind of deal. And Mark Richt down there is just, he's doing a hell of a job.
No, I'm with you. And, just looking at strength of schedule, Georgia is number 1, actually, I believe. Miami number 2, Clemson number 3, Alabama number 4, which is kind of surprising to me, but Oklahoma number 5. So that's always interesting later on in the regular season, but at least that's through week 9, okay? So those are the strength of schedules at this point, but we'll see how it all shakes out. Notre Dame, man, they just continue to play great football too. 35-14 over NC State, Mike. And I'll tell you what, this kid Adams, Love, just in general, Notre Dame has a bunch of guys that can go out there and play, but 202 carries for Josh Adams, 27 carries and the 202 yards and one touchdown. So really controlling things on the ground is Notre Dame.
Yeah, Notre Dame, they went out, they're in. Like, I don't think you can keep them out. I mean, they took USC to the woodshed last week. They're just playing good.
Only losses to Georgia, by the way. Yeah, only losses to Georgia, by the way.
Yeah, and for Georgia, how good does that Notre Dame win look now? like, yeah. to the, you know, when you're talking about playoff implications, I mean, that's a good win for the Bulldogs. But yeah, I mean, Notre Dame is, you know, you can say what you want, and I'm not a big Notre Dame fan by any means, but you got to give it up to when a team is playing solid ball and they're 7-1. You are what you are, right? According to Bill Parcells, and they're 7-1, and you know, maybe their head coach, you know, has maybe kind of quieted the people who wanted his head on a platter with this nice little run. But I think if Notre Dame wins out, and if Notre Dame wins convincingly on their way out, they're in the college football playoff, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and by the way, only lost by 1 point to Georgia. I believe the score was 20 to 19, if I'm not mistaken. So, again, a very, very tightly contested game. Oklahoma gets it done, 49-27 over Texas Tech. Oklahoma State wins over West Virginia. Washington finally gets their act together over UCLA, 44-23. So a lot of things happening in college football, as we all know, but interesting to see how the college playoff will turn out, because obviously the first one, like you said, coming out this week. Anyways, we got to take another quick pause for the cause. On the other side, we're going to hook up with a good buddy of ours, longtime friend, a guy who's on the program with us all the time, none other than our professor of sports, John Poulter. So we'll hook up with him in just a moment. But get at us, 1-800-878-7529. Hit us up on Twitter. It's Pigskin Opinion or Dorf on Sports or Dorf Online. And everybody, it is the weekend edition of Dorf on Sports with Mike Wilson. We'll be right back, everybody.
Ellinger in the gun with Warren to his left. Ellinger brings Hemphill maps in motion. He takes the snap. He's back to throw. Pressure coming. Ellinger rolls to his right, tucks it and runs over the 5-yard line. He's going to get in. Touchdown, Texas. Ellinger tightroping the right sideline, made his way into the end zone, and the Longhorns have tied the game with 8:01 to go and a chance to take the lead with the extra points.
You're listening to Dorf on Sports.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warren Tech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
Do you use the blue pill to charge your sex life? Have you been thinking about trying the blue pill? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $3. We'll do the math for you. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 40 blue pills or 40 yellow pills for $99 and add 4 more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next. You need to call and get your 44 pills for just $99. Stop overpaying for the other blue pills. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in a non-marked package. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. That's 800-223-0992.
Nobody wants to get ripped off, broken into, or robbed, but nobody wants to pay a lot of money to have their home protected either.
I've got an offer to tell you about to provide home security for your home. for a simple rate as low as $19.99 a month. For real, with no installation or equipment charges. And this is from a company rated number one by a leading consumer research company. According to the facts, most of you won't even call unless there's a burglary in your neighborhood or something bad happened. So let's give you a reason. Save money. For as low as $19.99 a month with no other costs, you can get your home secured. Plus, get a lifetime equipment replacement warranty. You need protection for your home. Call the Home Security Hotline right now.
Call 800-587-4281. 800-587-4281. 800-587-4281. Call now. That's 800-587-4281.
The 2-2. Swing and a drive. Left field. Way back. And it's gone!
You're listening to Dorf on Sports.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. I am Andy Dorf on Sports. He's Mike Wilson from PacificTakes.com, as well as the Dorf on Sports radio team. Get at us in many ways. You can get at us right here at 1-800-878-7529. You can always hit us up on Twitter. For Mike, it's Pigskin Opinion. For me, it's Dorf on Sports or Dorf Online. And then obviously check out the website, DorfOnSportsRadio.com. All right, so it's been a while since we've had this next guest of ours on here, Mike, with us. But truth be told, we love talking to him. None other than John Poulter, our professor of sports, joining us now. Good morning, John. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, guys. Doing very well, thanks. And hopefully the same thing applies to the two of you.
Yeah, man, can't complain. You know, Mike and I were lucky enough to get out to check out USC play Arizona State at Sun Devil Stadium on Saturday night. And truth be told, pretty cool experience, and I think you'll enjoy this very much so. But George Brett, we hung out with him for just a little bit before the game and got our picture taken with him. It was a pretty good experience, to be quite honest with you, John.
Yeah, it sounds like it was. George Brett, one of the great hitters of our time, I think it was 1990. I think he hit 390, 391 or something like that, flirted with 400 for quite a while. But one of the class acts and of the game and sports in general, and one of the last superstars probably to play his entire career with one team.
Yeah, no doubt, and that kind of leads me to my first question, because I know we had a Twitter question about Aaron Judge asking whether or not we felt that he should be the MVP of the American League. What are your thoughts on that, John?
No, he's certainly a contender, and if he did win the award, he would be worthy of such an award. But in my opinion, I think Jose Altuve is the best position player in the American League at the moment, and certainly put the numbers up this year, and Houston did win the championship, which usually factors into it. Now, we don't count postseason play at all, of course, because the votes are counted, or at least ballots are in, before the postseason starts. So it's based on strictly on regular season stats, but I think Altuve had a good season. He put up some very good numbers. He's done it consistently. He was the batting champion, and his season was pretty consistent, whereas Judge had that big lull right after the All-Star game that he was not exactly dead in terms of his statistics, but certainly below what we would have expected of him based on what we saw at the beginning of the season and at the end. So I got to think you got to give it to Altuve, but I think it's going to be a very close vote. But if I had a vote, which I do not, my vote would be for Altuve.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because we're comparing these two guys, Aaron Judge and Altuve, and obviously they're much different in stature, as we all know. Altuve is like a midget when you're comparing him to the likes of an Aaron Judge. I mean, just amazing how big this little guy can play, to be honest with you, John.
He reminds me an awful lot of a modern-day Joe Morgan in terms of what he can do and his size and his stature, and I don't know whether it's just the fact that they're both smaller guys that play second base, but certainly in my mind, Altuve is the best position player in the American League right now if you discount the big boys such as Mike Trout and those kinds of guys. Altuve to me is good defensively. He's good on the bases. He's a good team player. He can hit. He can hit with power. He can hit with average. To me, he's got all the tools. He's probably the closest thing we've seen to a five-tool player as an everyday second baseman in the last little while. And to think that they signed him for $15,000 is amazing when you look at some of the money they throw at first-round draft picks that never get to the major leagues. That's got to be one of today's great bargains.
Yeah, hey, John, it's Mike here. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, likewise, Mike.
Yeah, so a lot of people are still on the Dodger train with this. What do the Dodgers just have to do just to win this World Series? Like what, I know they kind of exploded last night, but Houston's no scrub. What do the Dodgers have to exploit to win?
Well, I think the Dodgers have to get what they got last night, and that's good starting pitching. Game two and game three, the two games that they lost, neither of their starters went any great distance, and there's some controversy about whether Rich Hill should or should not have been removed after throwing 84 pitches in four innings. I thought it was kind of a quick hook based on the fact that he had been pitching well up until the point that he gave up the run. But at the end of the day, the Dodgers have this great bullpen. I think Roberts overplayed his hand in game two by taking Hill out. Why fix something that isn't broken is the way that I would look at it. I think the Dodgers have to get good starting pitching, and quite frankly, in the two games that they have won, they got excellent starting pitching from Kershaw, and then again last night from Wood, and I expect they're going to get the same thing tonight from Mr. Kershaw as he goes out for his last start of the season. If the Dodgers can get six innings out of their starting pitchers, and they can use that bullpen the way that they have tried to use it all year, and that's in specific roles and late in the game and in specific matchups, I don't see why the Dodgers can't win it. But if the Dodgers get it back to that situation where their starting pitching doesn't hold up as it didn't hold up in games two and three, I think Houston can get back into this. But clearly, Sunday night is a classic example of the key game, because no matter what happens, game six is going to be a deciding game. And if I'm Houston, I don't want to be going to Los Angeles having to win both of those games.
Yeah, and it's Keuchel and obviously Kershaw going at it for game five. So going to be a great matchup. Hey, let me ask you this. I want to go back to something, and it's something that you have been taking a little bit of heat on as far as Twitter goes. Joe Girardi, man, no longer the manager with the New York Yankees. And there were several different reasons to what people alluded to as to why he was no longer with him. But we all know that he had a bunch of success. I mean, at the end of the day, we know that Joe Girardi managed that team to the best of his ability for 10 years, and they played pretty good baseball. They got a World Series, three AL championships, I believe, and six playoff appearances in general. But what are your thoughts about Joe Girardi being out of the New York Yankees?
Well, it doesn't surprise me that he's no longer there. One of the things that I had said on Twitter earlier in the week was, I suspected that there may be a parting of the ways, but my understanding was, or my thought process was, that he would be the one that said, I don't want to come back. I was quite surprised when I found out that the Yankees had not invited him back, and that was based on his words. I don't really understand why they would make this change. I mean, yes, every team that doesn't win looks to improve, but quite frankly, here's a guy that's been there 10 years, and I'm not a Yankee fan, I'm not a Girardi fan, I'm a complete neutral as far as this conversation goes. Any guy that can put up an average of 91 wins over 10 seasons, and we all know that 90 wins is kind of the benchmark that we've always used in terms of a team getting to the postseason. Here's a guy that's averaged 91 wins for 10 consecutive seasons in what's a very high-pressure market where you're expected to win every game, every year, all the time, and all of a sudden this guy finds himself out of a job. And my comment on Twitter was that I thought that the Yankees had treated him unfairly, basically from the standpoint that they hadn't invited him back. I mean, what exactly do they want? Do they want somebody that's going to win the World Series every year? Well, that would be nice, but that's a perfect world. We all know that doesn't happen. I took a lot of heat from a few guys, and one gentleman in particular who I thought was very rude in his response, and I've posted that response on Twitter along with my comments, I just don't think the guy needs to be rude about the way that he addresses me. I made a comment that was a personal opinion. I didn't say whether it was right or wrong. I was just making a statement, which to me is what Twitter is all about. And this guy comes back to me, and you know, maybe he's a Yankee fan, and therefore he sees more games than I do. But he doesn't need to be rude in terms of his comments back. I'm not really sure what he and the other Yankee fans are expecting, because they've all of a sudden now they've put the pressure on whoever takes that job, because whoever takes that job is going to be expected to get to the World Series or be a failure.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. And look, I mean, I'll be honest with you, John. I would take that as the ultimate form of flattery and the ultimate compliment, to be honest with you. When people are getting back at you on Twitter and they're not liking what you say, you've done something right, my friend. I'm telling you, you've done something right. Anyway, well, hey, John.
I hope you're right, and I hope Mr. John Odoo, O-D-D-O, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. I hope he understands that, and I hope he appreciates your comments.
Yeah, you know what? Bottom line is it's all about throwing opinions out there. We got to take a quick pause for the cause, John. Come back with us on the other side, because I want to talk a little bit more about the World Series and then get into some hockey with you. So keep it close. We've got our professor of sports, John Poulter, with us. Mike Wilson, Andy Dorf, the Dorf on Sports Weekend Edition with Mike Wilson. We'll all be right back in just a few.
High fly ball into left. Off the bat of Turner. At the wall. It's gone.
You're listening to Dorf on Sports.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
Attention to anyone that's written a book or wants to write a book. The process is not that complicated. Take a first step. Even if you write a page a day, you'll build momentum and your book will become a reality. The hard part is getting it published. That's when you need to call Page Publishing. They've got hundreds and hundreds of thank yous from different new authors, just like you. They make the process of publishing your new book and getting it sold online a simple process. You can learn how simple it is right now by calling for your free Page Publishing new author submission kit. One quick 3-minute phone call, that's all it takes to get free information and learn how you can get your book published. Pick up your phone right now and call us 24 hours a day at this number. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. That's 800-603-0885.
If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network, call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-508-5774. 800-508-5774. 800-508-5774. Call now. That's 800-508-5774.
Here's the 1-1. Ball belted to left. That ball's got a chance. Make it 3. Are you kidding me, Altuve? 3 home runs. That's an MVP as the Astros lead 8-2.
You're listening to Dorf on Sports.
All righty, people. Welcome back. Andy Dorf, Mike Wilson, the professor of sports, our professor of sports, John Poulter, hanging out with us as well, talking a little baseball. We may even get a little bit of hockey from him because he is our buddy from Canada, so it makes sense to talk to him about that game quite a bit, which the Arizona. It doesn't matter what their name is, to be honest with you. The Arizona Coyotes really, really struggling and putting themselves in a place where you don't necessarily want to be, but we'll get to that in just a moment. John, as we know, the L.A. Dodgers do get that victory to tie this series up 2-2. They had an explosion in the ninth inning where they get the 5 runs, and then obviously the Astros come back with a home run in the bottom of the ninth, but ultimately 6-2 is the final. The Dodgers have this thing knotted up. Kershaw on the bump, as well as Keuchel later on today, but truth be told, I think we got a 7-game series. I really do. So expect these guys back out there for game 7. Yes or no, John?
Yeah, I don't disagree, because no matter what happens tonight, we're going to see Mr. Verlander in game 6. And the way that he's been pitching in the postseason, I don't think there's such a thing as a mail it in, certainly at this level and this stage of the season. But in terms of if I'm the Houston Astros in an elimination game, the way things are going right now, 2017, with these two particular teams, with all due respect to Mr. Keuchel, I think Verlander's the guy that I want on the mound. He's been awesome since he was picked up from Detroit at the second trading deadline on August the 31st with seconds to spare. And he's pitched well, and he's pitched deep into ball games, and he's been commanding, and his ratios have been great. I think his ratios are much better than 2-1 in terms of strikes to balls, which is what you look for at this stage of the season. So if I'm the Houston Astros, whether I go to Los Angeles up 3-2 or down 3-2, I'm pretty comfortable in throwing Verlander on the mound and getting ready for either celebrating a championship or potentially playing Game 7 on Wednesday night.
John, let me ask you this about Verlander. He seems rejuvenated since he's got to Houston. Do you look at it the same way?
Yes, I do. And I have a feeling it's probably the atmosphere, Mike. I think things in Detroit have been a little stale the last few years. That team had a really good run, but I think when he sat back and saw the way that they were dealing off most of their other stars, with the exception of Miguel Cabrera, which I guess is going to be hard because of the contract that Cabrera has, I think he probably sat there and said, hey, I'm 34 years old, 35 years old. By the time this team gets ready to contend again, I'm going to be well past my prime. I'd like another crack at this. And I think the fact that he's gone to a team that's young and has a recent history of winning, and there's other guys on that staff that are there that are just as good as Verlander is. He doesn't have to be the only ace on that team. There's 3 or 4 other good pitchers. I think it's rejuvenated him exactly the same way that you're suggesting.
Hey, a couple more quick things here on this on the World Series, and then I do want to get your take on what's going on in the NHL right now. But let's just talk about a couple players in general. Justin Turner, we know what this guy can do. Obviously wasn't his best outing in game 4, but it didn't really matter because other people came up with the big play for them. But what can we expect from him the rest of the way? What can we expect from guys like Seager and Taylor and Bellinger? Just talk a little, and Yasiel Puig, who was a little bit quiet as well in game 4. Is it going to be these guys, or is it going to be somebody else stepping up for the Dodgers?
I think it's going to be one or more of those guys. Turner is a little concerning, I guess, if you're a Dodger fan, because he left that game last night with what appeared to be some form of leg injury. Whether it was a precaution or whether it was simply the fact that he was badly hurt, we won't know until we see the starting lineup for tonight's game. He's got to be a big piece of whatever puzzle that is that's still there. I mean, he's had a phenomenal postseason. Bellinger had been extremely quiet until last night when that double that, quite frankly, I thought Gonzalez should have caught. I know it was out there in that little awkward corner by the scoreboard. But if Gonzalez catches that ball, which in my mind is catchable, maybe that whole big inning doesn't happen in terms of the Dodgers. I think Bellinger has to come through. I think there's two or three other guys that need to come through. Puig is having a much different postseason than we've seen Puig have in the past. But in the last couple of games, I've seen a little bit of a backward situation in terms of where he's coming from. I think he's regressing back to his old self. I've seen a couple of situations where he's been tardy in backing plays up. His mental game hasn't been where it should be. I'm hoping, from a Dodger standpoint, I'd be hoping that somebody's going to sit down and explain to him, hey, we got maybe two, maybe three games left in this season. We need you out there at 100%. Pay attention. If he comes to the ballpark to play, the guy's got a lot of talent.
All right, so final question on this, and then let's talk a little hockey. You have the Dodgers winning this in seven, is my guess?
I do now. If the Astros had won last night, I would say no. And quite frankly, up until about the sixth or seventh inning last night, I thought the Astros had a real good chance to take a 3-1 lead. And I don't know what the exact stats are, but it's something like 44 teams in World Series history have gone up 3-1, and 39 of them have won the World Series. So clearly the odds would have been with the Astros if they'd won last night. I'm looking now at the Dodgers for two reasons, basically. Number one, they've got Kershaw going tonight, and to my mind, he's the best pitcher in baseball right now, so that gives them a distinct advantage. Plus, no matter what happens, they've now got home field advantage back. We got two teams that both won 100 games. First time in, I think, 47 years since two teams that won 100 games in their respective league participated in the World Series. So we've got two really good teams playing. I just got to think Mr. Kershaw is the difference here. If he pitches like he has this postseason, I think the Dodgers are there. If he goes back to what we've seen in the last four or five postseasons, I think the Astros have got a really good chance, especially with Verlander. But to answer your question in a short form, yeah, I think the Dodgers in seven.
All right, that's where my head was before the series started. But all right, so let's talk a little hockey. And again, we're continuing with our professor of sports, John Poulter, Mike Wilson, Andy Dorf, Dorf on Sports, the weekend edition with Mike Wilson. And we haven't talked any hockey yet with you, John, but season is underway, 11, 12 games, maybe 10 for some teams. And been a very tough start for the Arizona Coyotes, not so tough for the Vegas Knights. I mean, just unbelievable how that team has gotten out of the gates. But the Arizona Coyotes really struggling. Let's start there, John, but give us a skinny on NHL hockey in general right now.
Well, I'm not sure how much time you want to spend talking about the Coyotes. Frankly, they're a lot worse a team than I thought they were going to be. I didn't think they were a playoff contender, but I didn't expect them to be 0-11-1 after 12 games, giving up 48 goals in 11 games, 0-10-1. Didn't expect them to be giving up 48 goals, be minus 22 in terms of the goal differential. You know from previous discussions that I have a great deal of respect for Rick Tocchet as a hockey coach. I really thought that was a great hire, and I still think it's a great hire. I'm surprised that he hasn't gotten more out of that team. I know they're not the strongest team on paper talent-wise, but I think they're a heck of a lot better than 0-10-1. I'm not saying that they're going to turn it around and make the playoffs, but I do think you're going to see them get back into the mix there. The sad part is that Arizona is not really yet a true hockey market. And if they don't start to play well soon, the crowds are going to fall off, and then we're going to start hearing all these stories about teams for sale, teams moving, et cetera, which is the last thing you guys need.
That seems to be what happens year in and year out, to be honest with you, with this team, John. But just looking at the standings in general, who are some of the teams to be reckoned with this season?
Well, if you're looking at positive surprises, which is kind of the way I look at it early in the season, because as you and I have talked many times, both about baseball and hockey, neither of these leagues are sprints. They're both marathons, and we're only about 8 or 9%, maybe 10-12% into the season. So it's kind of early to be making any long-term projections. But in terms of what I'm seeing so far, top surprises, I guess, would be Tampa Bay, New Jersey, Colorado to some extent, certainly Vegas, Vancouver as well. Vegas, that's kind of an unusual story. They've only played 9 games, but they're 8-1. And, you know, here they're sitting, they've won five in a row, and they're second in the Pacific Division to the Los Angeles Kings, and they're doing this without their number one goaltender, Marc-Andre Fleury, who has been hurt for a little while. So it's amazing how they're doing it. I mean, we all think of any kind of expansion team in any sport to be doormats for the first two or three years. The way the draft was set up, this was clearly not going to be the issue with Vegas. They were going to be a much better team. I did not expect them to be this good, but it's still early. They're likely to hit that rut the same way as the Arizona team is not likely to play 0-10-1 hockey for the rest of the season either.
Yeah, we certainly hope not. But what do you see coming out of Nashville this year? I mean, could they make another run to the finals like they did last year?
Yes, I think they could. You know, that's an awfully tough division, Mike. I mean, when you look at the other teams in that division, you got St. Louis, Dallas, Chicago are the ones that come to mind. I still think Minnesota is probably one of the best teams in that conference, in that division. They're not playing all that well right now, but they're one of the teams that's only played nine games. So they're in a bit of a tough spot. And even Winnipeg, that's in last place in that division, is not a bad hockey team. I think they're 4-3-2 in nine games. So Nashville could certainly come out of that. I'm not saying they're going to win the division. I certainly think they're a playoff team, and as we saw last year, even though they were the eighth seed, they got all the way to the finals, and they gave Pittsburgh a real good run for their money, and in my mind, Pittsburgh was a much more talented team. So I think Nashville has a chance to get back there, but that whole Western Conference is again, once again, really tight the way that it was 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, no, I agree, John, and we're up against it, so really appreciate you taking your time with us today, and we'll continue to hook up with you on a weekly basis if you don't mind, and you know we'll probably have maybe one final time to talk about the World Series and all that stuff, but hockey is obviously in full throttle, and you know what, even though the Arizona Coyotes are struggling big time, it's still heavy on my mind, and I like talking hockey with you each and every week, John.
Always my pleasure.
All right, John Poulter, tell people how they can get on at you on Twitter real quick, and then we'll let you run.
At 12, the number, 12, John Poulter.
All right, my man. Have a great day, John. We'll catch up with you next week or the weeks after, okay?
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Take care. We'll chat
later.
John Poulter, our professor of sports, joining us here on the program. We're going to take a quick pause for the cause. We'll be back to wrap up this hour, and then hour number two will be on the horizon. So keep it close. The weekend edition of Dorf on Sports with Mike Wilson. We'll be right back in just a few. Keep it close, everybody.
Parker back after. Heard the footsteps and Hayes coming and got rid of it quickly. Set up around the boards and out Girardi to an open side. Plucked by Peugeot. Shoots!